Hello and welcome to Talk From Superheroes. Hey everybody, I'm Andrew Ivamy.
And I'm Diana McCullum.
And you're listening to Talk From Superheroes, where every week we discuss a piece of heroic television or film. And this week on the podcast, we are going to be talking about DC League of Super Pets.
I don't know if you can tell. Andrew read that directly from IMDb.
Yes. Because
we've been calling it Super Pets.
It's Super Pets.
And then you get there and the title comes up and you're like, oh, that's it's way longer than we've been saying.
That's not the title we've been saying, but it's Super Pets for short.
They're pets, they're super, but DC wants you to know. In case you couldn't tell by the fact that it's a Superman dog and a Batman dog, it's DC.
It's the DC League of Super Pets. So we're talking about DC League of Super Pets. Super Pets. It's Super Pets, we're calling it Super Pets.
What is this acronym, DCLS? DCLSP,
that's still bad.
Still bad.
Super Pets. We're talking about Super Pets. You were right. You were right to just call out the fact that we do not know the full title of this thing, but we're talking about Super Pets this week, the new movie that just came out in theaters. And as we do anytime that we talk about any new movie or TV show, we like to give a spoiler-free review. So in case you're on the fence about seeing it, not sure if you want to check it out, or if you just want a taste of this episode before you do watch it, we're going to give you a spoiler-free review. Then once you hear the theme music, that's when we're going to get into the spoiler-filled section. So let's get right into it. A spoiler-free review. Diana, did you like it?
I really liked it. This is a very high like, a very close to a love. Yeah, it's really delightful. It is especially delightful if you, most of you listeners will have like any knowledge of DC. I will say they don't explain a lot about characters overall, but that's absolutely fine. Like they give you the bare bones, and if you're like, I know who that is, then you're fine.
Right.
But yeah, I will say like it's a wonderful story. Like it's got a lot of heart. It's got a lot of laughs. There are some lulls where there are no big laughs for a while, but even when there's a lull, it's a very pleasant movie that I'm enjoying a lot. I'm like, this is still very tightly paced. The story really works. I think most of the voice actors are doing really, really fun jobs. I think everyone goes on a little bit of an arc. It's dogs. Also, they're dogs, which does a lot of the heavy lifting for a movie like this. But I do actually think the story is kind of combed over within an inch of its life in a good way. I think it's tightly paced and a very well done film about super pets. I had a great time.
Excellent.
Andrew, did you like it?
I think it's fine.
Okay.
I think it's only fine.
Did you notice there were dogs?
I did notice there were dogs. Okay. Love the dog aspect of it, but I feel very, I feel very fine about it. I feel like it's okay. If you've got a family and want to take the kids to this one, I think it's going to be just a suitable, fun way to pass the time. But I think it's only fine because I disagree with pretty much all of your points. Like, I think the jokes per minute are weak. I think the emotions don't land. I think it really drags and it feels like the first draft of a script. Like, I think that, I think that the main thing for me is that I'm like, the pacing is a mess and none of these emotions work. But I'm like, there are some dogs and it's kind of fun. And there's like a handful of jokes or moments that work. And for the most part, I find like the voice performance to be incredibly flat and boring. I feel very much the opposite of you. And I feel like in spite of that, it is a fun enough family entertainment that if you've got kids, it's going to be a fun one for the kids. It's definitely fun for the family. But I don't think it is in that category of animated movie or like animated kids movie where it's like it's also for the parents. Like I don't think that there's any reason to watch this alone as an adult.
Wow, we're on very different wavelengths this week. This is how I think I felt the last previous few weeks of things we've covered that you've liked more than me. No, I will disagree on most of those points. I might not disagree on interesting voice performances. Like, there's no one I hated, but you're right that there's not really anyone who's like, wow, they crushed it.
Yeah.
But I actually do think the jokes are very funny, the script is very fun, and I do think it's a very well-plotted out movie for a movie about pets with superpowers. I'm impressed. I don't know what I'd write.
Right. Fair enough. That's entirely fair. Yeah. I'm not saying that like I'm not saying it is as a premise ripe for Oscar worthiness if it had the correct script, but it just felt like there was a lot of silence where I think that like the movie looks good and it moves. And I think that there are a lot of moments where the animation does the heavy lifting where it's like a 2-minute scene where there's three lines of dialogue where nothing really occurs and no joke is told. And I'm like, thank God the animation is kind of peppy and fun, because like I felt like that was really picking up where the script lacked. I think that this easily could have been an hour 20 because there's 20 minutes of just kind of dead air in here, I think.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah, I think it could be like maybe like 10 minutes shorter. But okay. I actually like I didn't feel it dragged.
Interesting.
I felt no drag. I was like, those dogs teaching each other lessons. Mm. Love it. They're both learning from each other. They're best friends at the end. Spoiler. Oops. Oops, I let a spoiler out.
Spoiler. Can it be spoiled?
Not really.
Nah, it's some dogs.
Despite what I just said.
It's some dogs that go on an adventure.
There's a pig and a chipmunk.
It's some animals that go on an adventure. And then they're better for the adventure by the end of it.
And you know what? I'm not going to shock anyone when I say they win.
Yeah, so
they can't be spoiled.
Yeah, it can't be spoiled at all.
No, not really.
So we are you're a high like.
I'm a high like.
And I'm a fine if you have a family.
I wouldn't watch this again, but I'm glad I watched it once.
Interesting. Okay.
With
cool.
No family. I mean, you're my family, but like a young family.
Family.
You guys, your family can be familia. Anything.
Yeah, it can be anything.
We came in the door and told our dog about it. We're like, we just saw a movie about dogs.
Found family, baby. All right, well, we're a fine to a high like, and it can't be spoiled. That's it for the spoiler-free review. Let's get into the full episode, though. Let's talk about Super Pets. All right, we have seen the Super Pets in all of their glory, and we don't think it can be spoiled. And I'm really happy that you had a wonderful time.
I had a lovely time. Honestly, if there'd been no children in the theater, I would have had a prime time viewing experience. And I'm not mad there were children there. It's a children's movie. I was mentally like, there's going to be kids there. They're going to make noises. Be ready for this, Diana. I wish I could stream it so bad, but you can't.
I do think that sometimes when a movie is very much not for us, like this is for kids, even though you really liked it and I think it's fine, like it, you know, we're not the target demo. The target demo is families with kids and kids themselves. It is interesting sometimes to see it in a movie theater just to see what pops with its target audience. Like the Paw Patrol joke. I've
that theater exploded.
We've been seeing movies, and I've been doing live stand-up comedy for we've been covering movies on this podcast, and I've been performing live stand-up comedy for over a decade. I've never heard an audience pop the way that a Paw Patrol joke murdered with these kids. Murdered.
It felt like when like Freddie Mercury comes out and says the name of your city. It's like, hello, Chicago, and you freak out.
You lose your goddamn mind.
Freddie Mercury said Chicago or whatever your biggest musical person is. But yeah. And it wasn't even a joke. Like Ace and Crypto show up and they're two dogs and the guinea pig bad guy is just like, what is this, Paw Patrol? And it's like, that's not a joke. Because it is basically Paw Patrol.
It is basically just Paw Patrol.
They're if the cop dogs had powers.
Yes. That would have been a joke if they were like undercover or sneaking in dressed as a cop and a firefighter. But as it stands, it is just a reference to a thing that it is similar to.
But the kids blew up, you guys.
It shattered.
It crushed.
Whoa.
I will, because that was very interesting. That was a very interesting experience. I will say the other moment that crushed in a weird way is the kids were very delighted when the swearing was beeped out.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, why was there swearing?
Why was there three beeped out swears?
Because one of the swears was very hard. Because I think the first
one
two
of them
were
was
like
a
dams or something. Shit.
Shit. They were both shit. Where it was like, I don't give a shit. Anymore and like boop and it's beeped out. But the third one was a hard fuck.
Yeah, it was like a way worse swear.
Yeah.
And then I think they didn't beep out crap. I guess you can say crap.
The fact that you have to beep out shit but not crap.
Not crap. I put those at pretty much the same level.
Yeah. Yeah. And also both were used in the same connotation.
Yeah,
crap was used in a negative. It wasn't, I'm going to take a crap.
Yeah, it's not like, I'm a dog and I crap on the floor. Like,
it was not used to mean defecate. It was used to mean bad, mm-hmm. as same as shit did in the previous scene. But shit is beeped and crap isn't.
But the kids loved it.
Oh,
really,
yeah.
Really played. I think they were very delighted at a potential swear in a thing they were brought to by their parents. Like, my parents paid money to bring me to a movie with swears.
The first...
And I get it.
The first two beeps for shit got, like, some soft gasps and, like, whoas. And the hard fuck actually, I would say, got stunned silence. And one kid in the theater went... Oh! Like, one kid was shook.
Was that a kid or a parent?
That was a kid.
Because I think the parents were also like, what?
Why did you sneak a hard fuck in
here? This is a superhero movie about dogs.
You beeped it out, but you still left the sound
we
in.
We all know.
Yeah.
The kids know. So, yeah, it was... So as much as I would rather have been a completely empty theater somehow, still a very interesting experience to experience it with the children, the main audience.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, not the most peaceful experience, but very interesting, good focus data as to find out what kids like. And it seemed like most of the kids in the theater did have a good time watching it.
They did have a good time. I will slightly disagree that this isn't made for adults in any way. Because
okay.
I think there are aspects of it that are very much like... We wanted to get adults into the theater. I mean, the fact that literally every voice actor is an adult's known actor.
Yeah,
and
which
not
I
just
do,
The Rock and Kevin Hart. Like, every speaking role is a known actor.
Which I do have problems with.
Oh,
and
we'll
unpack that more in a minute, but I can agree with you that part of the idea behind that is to attract adults into a movie.
Yeah, like Keanu Reeves is Batman. Like, kids don't know. I mean, they might know who he is, but they're not like, I love Keanu Reeves.
Sure.
Like, these, John Krasinski, Superman, these are castings that are meant to get us in. I don't think the kids like Marc Maron.
Maron's not there for the kids. Yeah.
Marc Maron has never, ever been there for children.
Sure.
And, you know, he's playing a bad guy in this. He's Lex Luthor. But, yeah. And the fact that every single role... Like, I've never gone so far down a cast list where I knew every actor.
Right.
In pretty much anything except, like, Marvel Endgame.
Mm. I see what you're saying. That, like, it is all actors that are geared towards selling tickets to the adults, which is very much a... Now this is part of the problem that I have with this movie. I want to talk more about the voice acting and like the stunt casting and everything and the lack of voice actors, proper voice actors in a minute. But I think that this movie, why it fails for me is that it does what I think is the worst of DreamWorks and the worst of Pixar in terms of animated family projects, where like it goes that DreamWorks method of oops, all stunt casting, where like it's only big names. This is a huge movie with big name people, but it still tries to do the Pixar, we need to break your heart in every possible backstory. And it's like, you don't actually need to do that. And it feels weird to be like, this is a Warner Brothers movie, a company with its own rich history of animation, and it has no sense of identity, and its own identity is just trying to knock off Pixar or knock off DreamWorks. And it's like, you're neither. You're Warner Brothers. Your origins is like, you were one of the biggest companies in animation imaginable.
You're Bugs Bunny.
Yeah. Like, do that. Mm-hmm. So I think that is a bit disheartening for me, that I'm like, I don't like the all names stunt casting. And I think it tries way too hard to be emotionally vulnerable to the point of feeling kind of like phony and disingenuous.
I legit cried.
Damn.
I had tears running down my face.
Okay.
They totally Pixar'd me. They Pixar'd me more than I think like Lightyear did. Like... I felt more for this movie than I felt for Lightyear. Maybe just because they were dogs, but like I cried during the Ace telling his backstory scene.
Okay.
Ace talking about like they thought I bit her, but I was saving my little girl from falling down the stairs. But they gave me up, and like his just like I don't regret it. Wow, that like fucking nailed me in the heart. Like he was like, I'd do it again because I saved the person I loved, and it was kind of like. the most resonant if you love someone, let them go story I've ever heard. Because right. I gotta say that a lot of the times if you love someone, let them go stories never really land with me. I'm like, why would they leave?
Right.
Why would, if you love someone, why would they leave?
If you love someone, let them go if the letting go of them involves the process of helping them.
And then coming back or yeah. something. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this was one of the only ones where I'm like, oh yeah, because you like just have a complete lack of communication because you can't speak English to a human.
Right.
You have to let her go because you love her, but you saved her. And yeah, it was – that totally landed for me. But I completely agree with your saying that the movie doesn't have an identity. It is DreamWorks meets Pixar.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, like, surpass either of those things. But I think it was a pretty good mesh of the two for me.
All right. I see what you're saying. That, like, you know, at its best, maybe it's fusion food. It's a flavor of a flavor yeah. combined together. And it's like – that can kind of work a little bit.
Yeah, and yeah. it's like, you know, and it's got like just built-in resonance because it's all the superheroes we already know.
Sure.
There's a built-in relationship there. It's like reading a fan fiction of a thing I like with dogs.
A dog fan fiction.
The relationship is built in.
Yes, it's a bark fic for sure. Mm. So I can kind of see what you're saying. The Ace backstory, I think as a micro story, it does work. And it actually was well written and I like it. It just felt like it didn't belong at that point in the movie. It felt like it was just like, oh, we're just going to take a detour to be like, and this is where when we copy and pasted a Pixar script we got our hands on, there was an emotional backstory.
When we read Beating Out Your Story via Pixar.
Exactly, yeah.
Pixar Movies for Dummies.
Yeah. So it's like when we figured that out, that's when this is where we copy and pasted that in. So it's not even that it doesn't work. It just feels disingenuous. It feels like the pacing and the timing was off. And I'm like, you work, but it just doesn't feel like it's what anyone wanted to make while making this movie. But that's just a weird ethereal feeling that I have. And I don't know if I can intellectualize or academic my way out of that thought process, you know?
Interesting. Yeah, no, I didn't feel that at all. And my other, like, just quick remark about how I think this is mildly geared towards adults is there's just, like, jokes that are for adults, like the not like adult jokes, but just like things like whoever Morgan Freeman played, that's for adults. Like, when Batman's like listing people he's worked with, it's like, but I've worked with Robin and Alfred and whoever Morgan Freeman played. I'm like, that's a deep cut.
I did not hear that one.
That
okay.
was for adults right
okay.
there.
Yep. And
yeah, there's just like, I think there's just things that I like, maybe not even for adults, but I think there is a lot of background love of superheroes in this. Like every chevron was very, very funny. There's a ton of background jokes that are very, very good.
I love every like lower thirds newscast, every background bit, every piece of world building.
Like, one was like things have escalated quickly, and I'm just like, that's very funny.
One of them was just like, what is even happening now? Like, and one of them when like all the guinea pigs get superpowered and they all get different powers, and one of them's big and jacked, and the lower third on the news it says one of them's big and is kind of hot. Question mark, is it okay for us to say that? I'm like, that is a terrific joke. The quick like Mixelplick reference.
Ooh,
in the opening
Mixelplick,
newscast.
Yes. These are things that I don't think kids know.
Those are definitely not things kids know or jokes that are for kids, but it does feel like a scramble of like, here's a bunch of jokes we wanted to do, and we aren't allowed to do it in the mainline dialogue, or we're not working it in. And at any given moment where there was a moment of screen, and maybe it's the animators who I think had a great job, because I love the animation of this. I think it's fluid, it's smooth, the world is great. And maybe the animators are sneaking their own jokes and references in. But there is that, like, there's a lot of jokes per minute in the background and yeah. not in the dialogue. Like, what the characters say usually isn't funny. But if I look around the room, there's something funny there.
Yeah, I will actually completely agree. The animation does look fantastic. This is a phenomenal looking animated movie. But yeah, all of the loving, very, very funny details, I will agree, are background details. Because like, there's more writing on screen than the more I think about it. Because I think like Crypto also has like a sequence where he has like a dream sequence where there's a newspaper and it's like Crypto's crying and he's like, man's best friends break up.
Or, yeah.
And like there's lots of jokes in this fake newspaper. My favorite joke was the Broadway Cats poster, but it said Catwoman.
Yeah.
That one was great. I would see that.
That was really funny, too. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you're right. I think the background animators are doing a lot of heavy lifting of just, like, we're just putting all the jokes in.
I think that, like, at one point when they crash at Wonder Woman's invisible plane, the building they crash into is Ferris Air.
Oh, yeah, there was a Ferris Air.
There was a Ferris, yeah. But I think there was, like, an ad on the side of Ferris Air that says, like, ours are real planes you can see. And it's just, like, there's shit like that going on everywhere where I'm like, this is a visual delight packed full of jokes. And people don't get to say or do them, which is a real shame. But there is great joke writing in here. Mm-hmm. I think that some of the jokes do work. Like, the kitty who gets superpowers and is murderous is haunting in a fun way.
That whole sequence worked. Is really, really fun. I'm going to blow your mind right now. The little girl, the Whiskers is the cat who does that, played by a little girl, and this is her first acting role.
I believe it.
I think that's shocking. I mean, especially because she sounded familiar. Not going to lie. She sounded like another cute animal I've heard recently somehow. But her IMDb is completely blank. This is her first one.
See, I think that, that performance stood out for me. I think it's a great joke, first of all. It's like all of these pets get superpowers. And it's this one kitten who's super cute. And it's just like coughs up a hairball that's a grenade.
Crazy.
And when the little kitten's like, I'll see you in hell. And I'm like, the kitten saying, I'll see you in hell is so funny. Really good comedy, just with the juxtaposition of the most horrifying explosion, terrifying creature.
And like other stuff, though. Like, his whiskers were missiles, his tail was a bazooka. Like, everything this cat could shoot shot out of him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very, very funny, very against tropes, very surprising. Because everyone else's powers are kind of like what you expect in a reverse trope. Like, it's a turtle who's fast. Like, it's what you expect. But when I think of, like, what's the reverse of a cat, I don't think coughs up a grenade.
Right.
It's what comes to mind.
It works, though. That comedy does work. Yeah.
And even just, like, the joke about, like, how kittens are adopted first. It's like just like weirdly real, but very funny. You're like really landed.
Yeah, a hairless guinea pig being like, it ain't me.
No.
It ain't me, dog.
I don't got a chance.
No, it's going to be the young kittens for sure.
And there's a few other very good jokes. We both died on that dog in the mirror is you.
Okay, the dog.
The multiple jokes in that?
Dog L in general was great.
Solid.
Was terrific. Always a delight to see to hear Keith David in anything. And we've discussed before the amount of pre-recorded messages that Jor-El has done is just conceptually fucking hilarious.
How many takes that man had?
It's great. And yeah, just the quick ones of Dog Al of being like, chocolate's bad for you. Like, fireworks suck. Just these quick hits of advice.
Especially because this is like thinking too much about it. But Dog Al didn't have superpowers.
Yes.
Because you don't have superpowers on Krypton. So he would have thought fireworks sucked. Mm-hmm. And he would have been able to be killed by chocolate. So a lot of his advice isn't relevant to Krypton, actually.
Right, right.
But he still would have recorded it.
Fireworks sucks is a preference. I feel like that can still carry over to Earth. I don't know if Krypto's vulnerable to chocolate in the way that a regular dog
would be. I
don't
think he would be vulnerable to chocolate. I would think he would be more vulnerable to fireworks. He's got super hearing.
That is true. Yeah.
Like, right. He would be like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
But yeah, Dog Al. Dog Al is absolutely hilarious.
We've been very kind. I think we skipped over how we wanted to talk about we do not like live action actors taking voice actor roles.
It's miserable.
It's awful.
It's miserable as an industry trend. And I think that, like, right now we went to two great voice performers in this, which is a child doing an unabashed I am a kitty having the best time of that kid's life. And legendary voice actor Keith David. And I think that the other voice that's phenomenal in this is Kate McKinnon as Lulu. So to give, like, the other piece of praise is, I know Kate McKinnon, you know, has been on SNL, is an on-camera actor, but is a character actor and can do voices and character pieces.
She made a character.
Yes.
She did a full breakdown and a different voice. I actually didn't even recognize her voice, but then when you read it, you're like, oh, yes, of course.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, I'm not saying that, like, on-camera actors and voice actors need to be totally separate. There are people who can do both. Ben Schwartz is in this movie.
I was just about to say he was my breakout.
And he doesn't necessarily have, like, the vocal range and impressions that Kate McKinnon has, but I think he does ham it up and dedicate and is a good voice actor. And I even think Keanu Reeves is stunt casting, because you could even hear that Keanu knew the joke. Keanu gets it and was like doing like, I'm doing gravelly Keanu, but he's going more into it than usual.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, I could see Keanu, and if I close my eyes, I could see Keanu in the booth really giving it. And everyone else is just reading the fucking words. They are just reading the words. They do not have vocal range. They don't have the ability to emote. Like, The Rock sounds like he's asleep some of the time.
Really? I thought The Rock was very good. I thought Kevin Hart and the pig were kind of boring.
And the pig I'm surprised by, because that's Vanessa Bayer.
Who's very fun.
Very funny.
Who does characters and does big stuff. Like, I was really surprised when I read that was her.
But I think that, like, she is such an incredible comedic talent. But so much of what she does is, like, she really gets physicality of a character down. And she really has, like, well-defined lines between the different characters that she plays. But there's always, like, a hunched shoulder or a crooked neck or, like, something that, like, pushes her physically into that space.
I also feel like she loves to play like whatever kind of awkwardness is existing in her characters.
Yes.
It's never like a chill character, whether the awkwardness is breaking a social convention or like just being too much or whatever. And I just feel like in a booth, she doesn't get to do that.
Yeah, I fully agree. It's not the right fit for her. A wonderful performer, and all of the performers, wonderful performers in their own rights. Like, I'm not mad at John Krasinski's ability to act in general. I'm like, and even like The Rock and Kevin Hart, it's like, I'm not saying that they're Oscar winners, but you see them in stuff like Jumanji, and it's like, The Rock does play childlike innocence in a jacked man's body relatively well. Yeah, Kevin Hart plays I'm Angry, I'm Little relatively well. Like, they both do better on camera than they do in voice because they just don't know how to do with their voice what they know how to do with their body. Mm-hmm. And there was one line I remember in particular that, like, Kevin Hart delivered. And I was like, did you only get one take at this? Because he stuttered and flubbed the line. And it seemed just to me like, yeah, the other pets are they're over there. We got to go over there. And I was like, and that stayed in. I was like, that was the fucking take? Was Kevin Hart driving a car past the voice studio while delivering that line? Was that a drive-by line delivery? He didn't say the words clearly.
And that has to be how that character always speaks if you're going to not pronounce the words clearly. Like, yes. It has to be like every like second scene. He's like, that's how I'm a fast-talking dog and I just don't pronounce the words right. Like, that has to be who the character is. It can't just be one time we used the take where he stuttered.
It does not make
in a movie where every other line is so crisp and clear and absolutely intelligible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Like, yeah, I think there's kind of a place for some stunt casting. Like, I think Keanu is Batman.
Yeah.
It's very fun. He does a great job. And like, that gets you the interviews, that gets you the interest from adults to like go see Keanu as Batman. But like, yeah, like this entire IMDb list being all live action actors, I'm like, that's just fucking rude.
Cause
like voice actors are talented. This is a huge gig that you've just denied so many like very, very talented voice actors.
Yeah.
Who would like crush it. I was actually even really surprised. Like, I like Daveed Diggs, but it seemed like he was doing an impression of Cyborg from Teen Titans Go, and I'm like, where was Teen Titans Go Cyborg then?
Right.
Like,
just was he just unavailable?
Give this guy
or
a job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like, I'm not mad at any individual person, but just like DC in general, I'm like, come on, guys.
And it's always disappointing when an animated movie does it. It's becoming more the trend, and there is, I think there is a balance that you can strike. Like, I understand that you want a couple of name actors to do press junket stuff that is a little bit more visible, that maybe gets more heat on social media and sells tickets. The marriage of art and commerce is always an ugly one, but some of it I can accept and understand. And if you're like, we've got three name stars and three classically talented voiceover actors who maybe the public doesn't know, but we're really gonna lean on them to fucking do something, to really chew some scenery, to fully commit. And I feel like that's the other big thing with animation that sells it, is just to completely and utterly and unapologetically commit to the most ridiculous featuristics and characteristics of who it is that you're playing. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like The Rock or Kevin Hart or anybody really did it. I think Keanu did.
I think Keanu and Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, Keanu and Kate
Actually,
McKinnon
Actually, you know
did.
What? Shout out to Diego Luna, the chipmunk.
I think he did an okay job.
I think shout out to him just because I've literally never seen him do comedy before, and I think he did a pretty fun job.
Ooh, okay. For a just man kind of foraying
into
comedy.
Yeah, not for a man foraying even into voiceover work, but into comedy.
Right. And Natasha Lyonne worked for the lines that she was given, like it's meant to be that. But yeah, for the most part, it's just they needed to get some proper voice actors.
Yeah, I think that is where they could have meshed. If they're going to copy DreamWorks and Pixar, they could have copied Pixar a little bit more in that way. Because Pixar overall is quite good of like getting, even if sometimes they are live action actors, like they're never all that famous. Like Holly Hunter is the lead of Incredibles. I'm like, yeah, I've seen you act live action, but like,
right.
No one's coming to see Holly
Hunter.
Yeah,
no one's like, ooh, the new Holly Hunter movie.
Pixar in general, like when I think of their movies, I'm like, yeah. I guess was Lightyear Pixar? Because that year time they did that.
Lightyear did go a little bit more, and I think that is part of the problem of the trend is that everything's leaning a little bit more famous on-camera people. And that might be the exception to the rule for Pixar, or it might just be where everything is skewed and headed. But like other Pixar movies, it's like Cars. It's like people know who Owen Wilson is, but no one's like, I need to check out that hot new Owen Wilson animated movie. So, like, yeah, I think that for the most part, they know what they're doing at Pixar, and Lightyear was a bit of an exception, and we could use more proper voice talent.
Yeah, I will agree with you on this point of this is a negative for this film. Mm-hmm. How do we feel about, this is rated PG, and I had to check, because I didn't know if they got it up to a PG-13, because this movie opens with Krypton exploding.
They just straight up explode the parents in the opening
scene. Yeah, you meet the parents. They say lines. You briefly form a connection to Jor-El and Lara. Okay? You're like, that's Alfred Molina.
Yeah.
I like him. He's holding a dog at one point. He calls Clark's son. And then they're like, he has been blown up to smithereens.
And I know in regular Superman stuff, we have on this podcast joked when it's like, that's big enough, you could have put yourself in there, one of the parents. Also, the fact that the parents were both like, we'd like the dog to explode with us as well.
Get the dog in there.
Actively trying to make sure the dog stays behind to explode is also a why, because the dog visibly can fit in there.
I mean, like, the seat was a little crowded, but they're both going to live.
They're both going to live just fine. And I really thought after they shot him, I'm like, okay, they're definitely not going to cut the camera back and show these parents be exploded. Like, they really fucking did.
You see, like, their silhouettes turn to fire.
It was a straight-up Zack Snyder cold as blood opening that they fucking gave.
I 100% agree. I'm like, okay, this rocket's going to go into space, and we're just going to follow the rocket and not look at Krypton again. Yeah. We will pretend we don't know.
And the nerds in the audience will know, but they're not going to show it.
But, like, that formed, and, like, in a way, it kind of helps the story a little because, yeah, Krypto would be pretty protective of Clark.
Yeah.
If he watched Jor-El and Lara explode. Just die a fiery death.
Absolutely brutal.
We both looked at each other and we're like, what's this rating?
I looked at you and I was like, what the fuck? And then I was looking around the theater to see if children were crying yet. Because there were some young kids there. Yeah. And like I'm like, this might have rolled too hard on the Pixar territory. We're just like, oh, okay, Pixar movies in the first like opening sequence, whatever. Someone dies. It's heartbreaking. Okay, I get it. Explode the parents. Explode them.
Like in Finding Nemo, you don't see the shark eat the mom.
Ew.
The dad gets knocked out, you wake up, and the mom's gone. You fill in the blanks. This movie was just like, what's Pixar do? I bet if we showed them explode, that would be...
A Zack Snyder impression of a Pixar movie? It's a really...
For children.
For the kids, all right?
Well, the thing is, I don't even think Zack Snyder would do this. We've seen Guardians of Ga'Hoole.
Legends of the Guardians, the Owls of Ga'Hoole. Thank you very much.
My apologies. I love how much you know that title, genuinely.
I've said really, it so many times.
Really, really tickles me. And the darkest thing that happens in that movie is getting moon blinked.
Yeah. Look out, Soren. All right, you don't want them to moon blink you. All right, Metalbeak is coming. We all know the Legends of the Guardians, the Owls of Ga'ul. We all know it. It's a very important and pivotal DreamWorks, I think, movie, whatever it might be. But yeah, blowing up the parrots was pretty vicious, as was, I mean, Ace's backstory was tragic, not vicious per se.
It wasn't. It was actually, like, I think a pretty good level. I wouldn't have mind like some kind of like, I kind of wanted like the family to be like watching on TV and be like, oh, he was a good dog. I wanted a little bit of a redemption his family's eyes. Like, I know he's going to end up with Batman, and that's pretty dope.
I actually
you're
really,
going to be owned by a billionaire.
I really got on board with the this is kind of Ace's origin story because at first I'm like, well, it's a movie about Crypto and Ace, and then when I like, you know, when the movie starts, I'm like, Ace is just a dog and not Batman's dog. I'm like, oh, okay, this movie's kind of his origin story in a way. And that's kind of fun. I like that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's all of them, but like Ace is the only one we know other than Crypto. I don't know his other pets. I do now. And
sure.
They're mostly delightful. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so yeah, an origin story of like, but also like kind of mean, not mean, but it's like weird when your dog has superpowers and you don't, because Ace still is invulnerable.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It actually does make me feel better about it, though, because I wouldn't want to bring a vulnerable dog to battle. But so I would want to know my dog cannot die. I would be like, excellent.
Super helpful.
I mean, everyone wants to know that.
That's kind of the dream, many regards. Now, it's all of the heroes keep their powers. Did the villain guinea pig lose it?
She did, because he punched her so hard he knocked like all of the kryptonite out of her.
Oh, okay.
So I think she was completely gone of powers.
Okay,
yeah,
that's fair.
Because it pops out of her completely.
I'll allow it, Your
we'll
Honor.
We'll allow it.
Sustained.
Mm-hmm. I was worried they'd all lost their powers. It looked like she was stealing the powers out of him at the very end.
It did kind of look like that, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then when Ace jumped in front of the big explosion, I'm like, are you still invulnerable? Gotcha.
I think
because this movie will obviously kill people.
Yeah.
Krypton, dust.
They did a pretty good job of like seeding in what they needed for that final scene.
Oh, yeah.
Be like, this here's the super punch that kills both of you. And then like we need to use jumping off the balcony and then using Ace as the shield, I thought was very important as well. Yeah.
Oh no, this is what I meant. I think the storyline was tight. I think they plotted in everything they needed to plot in. I was like, yeah, I thought it moved as well as a movie about an evil guinea pig can move.
Uh-huh.
And like a bunch of cute little other evil guinea pigs. I had a great time. I'm a little conflicted about how I feel, and like I'm like, it's nice that everyone gets adopted, so maybe I shouldn't even be conflicted. But I actually was kind of looking forward them to all going to the farm in Smallville.
That did seem like it would have been a nice conclusion for them.
Like, when he offered, like, oh, no, I have a genuine farm, and we know he's not lying. Like, we all know who Superman is. He grew up on his farm in Smallville. They could be raised by Ma and Pa Kent, who rule.
Yeah.
Like, so that's also why I kind of thought she was, like, taking their powers away.
Oh,
I was
okay,
like, oh,
okay.
They're going to get turned back into normal animals, and they will go to the farm, to the real farm, not to the fake farm where you die, Ace.
Also,
what is wrong with you?
A very dark joke early on. Like, to follow up the Krypton exploding with that, that was a moment where I'm like, what kind of a movie are we in for here?
As someone who genuinely had her mother tell her dog moved to a farm growing up, if I saw this movie, I'd be like, I guess I'd be like, yeah, the farm.
Yeah, you would still just continue to believe the lie
Fair
about
enough.
The farm. Yeah,
I guess the movie doesn't never reveal that means you die.
Yeah. That's a wink and a nudge to parents who know that's
like,
an old-fashioned lie.
Yeah, my mom watching if I was a kid would have been like, yes.
And then followed that up with an Animal Farm joke, which is another one that's for the parents. So I'll give you that's not for the kids as well. Yeah.
But yeah, it really seemed like they were setting up, like, we never even go to Smallville.
No, we don't. Yeah, I didn't expect it to end up with all of them being adopted by, like, a surrogate super friend.
Yeah, especially because a lot of them don't match up. They really forced a few of these matchups. Well, like, the turtle and Flash make sense, even though they'd never met. Like, that's a very fun
Wonder
thing.
Woman and the pig. But, like, apparently most of these are references to the to comic book
there is
characters, if not. But
there is a League of Super Pets, like, comics.
For sure.
series. Like, so they already exist, but the movie didn't match them up well.
I think the squirrel is a Green Lantern in the comics.
Yeah.
And they just were like, he has lightning powers and is friends with slash adopted, and then I guess gets a ring or whatever. So, like, they kind of made their own way with whatever they wanted to do.
I mean, that makes sense, because, like, you can't have, like, a piece of kryptonite give you a Green Lantern ring. That's just... I mean, I guess it could have made you be able to make things.
You could do five different origin stories as well. You could do
a,
like...
Oh, that's going to take pretty long time.
Yeah, all right, fair.
I think the kryptonite was a really good, quick...
That was a pretty good and quick one.
I mean, his power could have just been Green Lantern-esque.
Yes. Yeah, that's fair.
Could have just created images.
That is fair.
Would have been more topped up. Because, yeah, like, when the fire one, I think, goes with Cyborg, I'm like, this isn't anything. Like,
Cyborg has a fire guinea pig? Sure, okay.
And that one just didn't make sense to me, because I don't think the guinea pigs are in the League of Super Pets. So I'm like, you could have given them any power that matched up better with Cyborg.
Right. You could have made it a Cyborg guinea pig, frankly.
I think there was a Cyborg guinea pig. It just wasn't Ben Schwartz.
I mean, there was a guinea pig that was everything, and that they really, like, threw all of it at the wall. I like the one that was just shooting a soft rainbow.
But they built it up really big.
Building the swirl like he's a Mortal Kombat villain going in for a fatality, and just a soft Care Bear stare comes out of that guy. I love that.
He kind of just walks away. Yeah, the guinea pigs were so cute. The fact that they didn't want to, like, just in their cages, like, we don't really want to.
We're all pretty comfortable and good. Yeah.
And then they don't want to send the rocket up. They're like, oh no, we didn't want to hurt anybody. We're regular guinea pigs. Also very dark when she mashed the hot and cold one together.
Yeah.
There's some dark moments in this.
Pretty funny joke to follow it up with, we're just coughing. The fake dying scene, just... Yeah, go, we're just coughing.
Crypto holding because he thinks it's a death scene. Very against tropes. Very, very funny. That scene was very good.
Yeah, not bad. All in all, like, the movie, I dunk on it a few times. I think it's fine.
I think it's a much higher than fine. Honestly, I think the voice acting thing is my biggest negative about it.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. That we're in full agreement. Hire voice actors. You don't need on-camera actors to do everything.
You needed just Keanu, probably. And we all would have... I think the one same amount casting of people would have gone to see it in theaters.
Absolutely. Yeah, you don't need to fit it in between on-camera actors doing their other gigs. Because then they're only recording for 1 week out of their life. As opposed to a dedicated voice actor who would give it more time and attention and thought.
And yeah, when you get all these, like, big names, they're definitely not in the booth together. Like, yes. They're filming separately, probably in different cities.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think part of the, like, one of the most obvious things about that is that The Rock and Kevin Hart are two people where, like, if you see them do any of the press junket stuff for this, and I would say even, like, some of the stuff that they did on camera for Jumanji and the press stuff for Jumanji, these are two people who are sincerely real-life good friends. And they ooze that energy of... this is a great friend who I'm always happy to be around. And a press interview with the two of them is more I would say actually funnier and more charming than any of their interactions in this movie, because they never interacted when they recorded this movie.
Yeah, that's a great point. Them in real life, there's this, like, way higher energy, a way bigger back and forth. Like, they're laughing. They are just, like, at their peak, these two, when they're together in the same room. So they were definitely nowhere near each other when they filmed. That or they both just turned into very serious actors. We're like, these are our lines, and we can't go off script for the dog super movie. We can't play around here.
Recording separately might be entirely more likely, I would say.
Than them taking too seriously the dog movie?
I think that's fair. Well, let's go in for the close. Let's ask the final question of what would you change? So now that we've discussed everything we discussed, what would you change about this if you could change anything? But before we do ask the final question, we will remind you, if you haven't already, please subscribe, rate, review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast Addict, wherever you get your podcasts. By rate, reviewing, and subscribing, you help us move up the charts. You help us get recommended to new listeners. It's how we grow and expand. And then when new listeners find us, they check those reviews. They're more likely to hit download. They're more likely to become regular listeners. And that means everything to us.
That is everything to us. We are so happy when we get new reviews. It warms our hearts. Leave us a 5-star review. Just say noise. Say we're relevant, hip, and happening. Leave some reviews for your other podcasts that you like. maybe the ones on this network. There's a bunch. They're all good.
Leaving reviews is free. Do it for some of your favorite podcasts. We all ask you to do it, and it's for a reason. It's because it helps these shows. And as well, if you want to support the podcast monetarily and get additional bonus episodes for doing it, check us out over on Patreon. Patreon's a monthly subscription service. You can chip in whatever it is you can afford. If you just want to support the network, you can kick in $1 a month. You still get some bonuses at $1 a month, and then also you help support this network and help us grow and expand. And those dollars really do add up. Don't feel silly by doing $1. Stack up and make a difference.
I'll take $1. I'll take a dollar. I'll go to the dollar menu. I'll get a burger.
But if you have more ducats, though, at the $10 hero level, you get an exclusive episode of this podcast every single month.
Exclusive episode every month, and also access to all the old ones. There's so much. They're full episodes. There's no ads. A thing we never cover on the regular podcast. There's so much more Talk from Superheroes awaiting for you. You'll also get a fun nickname from me. Everyone likes it.
It's worth it for the nickname, hands down.
You'd be surprised, guys, how fun the nickname is.
So we did Stranger Things Part 2 last month on the Patreon exclusive. The month prior, we did Chippendale Rescue Rangers, one that we did really quite enjoy. So go check out that one if you want to hear us talk about an animated movie we both really liked. And one that did have a decent mix of on-camera name and traditional voice talent. So check that out. Head over to patreon.com/fromsuperheroes. That's patreon.com/fromsuperheroes.
And also, if you are a Canadian podcaster, we are nominated in the Canadian Podcast Awards, and you can vote for us. If you're not a Canadian podcaster, you can wish us well. this is our 9th nomination, so we would love to win this year. You can vote for us for Best Production, Best Main Title Theme, or Best Television and Film Podcast. We're very, very honored to be nominated. You can go to canpodawards.ca and vote for us, please, 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 if you like us.
If you're a Canadian podcaster, head to canpodawards.ca. And please vote for us for the Canadian Podcast Awards.
We're going to do it this year.
We're going to do it. This is the year.
This is the year of the Talk from Superheroes.
This is our year. And now, let's go in for the close. Let's ask the final question of what would you change? Diana, what would you change?
I've got two just quick ones because I liked this movie quite a bit. I will say I didn't like being teased about a training montage and then not given a training montage.
Ooh, yeah.
Don't like that, especially because... Like, it would have been such a good training montage because Crypto didn't have his powers, but he knows how to use powers.
Okay.
So he really could have bonded with these pets. They did have a good, pretty good story of him bonding with these pets anyway, but like, what a great entry point. Like, I'm going to be your mentor. I don't have powers, but I know how to use powers. And I think that could have been a really great training montage. Like, training montages are always fun. There would have been a million jokes per minute, especially because the animators were doing most of the jokes in this film. I imagine a training montage would have slapped. So we just got a really short one where they just tried to use their powers for like 30 seconds and Crypto like just made fun of them a little bit. So I would have had a proper training montage and Crypto just is their mentor and they're like, oh, you're still useful without powers. Like, look at this. You taught us how to save you and stuff like that. And then my other change is very dumb, but I didn't like that he just had a poop that he didn't notice.
It is pretty dumb.
It's pretty dumb. Because he's just like sad and then he's like flying and I guess he didn't realize he'd pooped. Who doesn't realize they did a poop?
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but
so my sure. My change is there's going to be a very dumb line. It's kind of still the same scene. He's fighting Lulu the guinea pig. And Lulu the guinea pig, because we've established you can swear, says, "I'm going to kick the crap out of you." And she does. And that's okay. How Kryptonite comes out. He just takes a big hit against the wall.
And then poops.
And then poops. I think if you hit a wall really hard, you could accidentally poop.
You could maybe poop, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So those are my changes. A training montage and a line called, I'm going to kick the crap out of you, and it makes him poop.
That's not bad.
Thanks. Andrew, what would you change?
I love both of that. I was thinking for a poop joke. I was like, I was thinking about poop jokes because I'm like, one of the robots should have like a little baggie to like pick it up or something like that, you know, like, I'm like, well, we're waiting for the poop joke as an audience. And maybe there was one in there and they cut it out for whatever rating or dumb reason. I did notice the lacking poop joke there. I agree with you on that. I can agree with you on that. My big change is just more jokes per minute. There's just not enough jokes per minute. And when they are, it is... it's visual gags. It is the animators, and it is, you know, maybe the animators sneaking in their own jokes, or the writers, as I discussed, like writing in things that wasn't in the dialogue. This needs more punch up writing. These characters should have more funny lines. I think that this movie could stand to focus a little bit less on its heart and be like, we're just a joke factory. Like, we're not a Pixar movie. This is a movie about two super pets. Can we just have fun? Can we make fun of superheroes? Because I think the funniest stuff is the, like, Batman being like, that better be a licensed toy or I'm going to flip.
That joke is so good.
It's such a good – and I think that, like, the jokes that exist in the world of heroic pets are the jokes that really work. And it's just, like, chaos happening on the TV and the news stuff and an invisible plane and Batman's merchandise and, like – you were wearing glasses a second ago. I know it's you. And these jokes all work. And when it's just like, here's the tough thing about being adopted. It's like, you've got to pick and choose those moments. This should be a joke factory. I would like this more so to just be a tight hour and a half movie that's just a joke factory.
I can get behind definitely more jokes. There are because there are times when there's no jokes and I still found the movie very pleasant, but there were definitely like some long lulls between big laughs.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I could have like, because like I can feel the kids also getting bored and you always get a little worried because you're like, they're going to get chatty or cry if they're too bored. We got to pick up the pace.
Yeah, whereas like alternatively for like animated projects that we did really enjoy, we mentioned like we covered it on the Patreon there a month and a half ago, was Chippendale. Mm-hmm. And Chippendale is one where like
it moves.
It is joke per minute. And it has a tiny bit of heart, but it's like it knows what it is. It's like we are here. We have come up with a premise and we're a joke factory for it. And I think that this movie should be that, should have been that as well.
I can get behind that. I think that would be fun. I'm never going to turn down jokes in an animated superhero movie.
Good.
I'd be a fool.
You would be a fool. I'm just never going to turn down jokes in general. They're good to have around. I welcome them.
We like comedy.
Well, that is going to be it for this week's episode on Super Pets. We are going to be back next week. Next week, we are going to be talking about Sandman, the new Netflix series Sandman.
Yes, the entire season or the show. I don't know if they're going to make season two or how Sandman works.
We'll see how it works.
We'll talk about some sand.
We'll be talking about all that is available of the Sandman, and we'll be talking about that next week on the podcast. In the meantime, if you want to get a hold of us, you can find me online at Ivamy, Ivimey.
You can find me at Words of Diana.
And you can find both of us at From Superheroes, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
Bye.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile Coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.